Sun is shining. AFL finals are in the air for the next 45 to 55 minutes, depending on how long we babble on for. There is nothing to do with quarantine. There is nothing to do with lockdowns, no COVID.
All positive.
It is all positive now, gentlemen, except for Brownie's outfit and the shaved hair at the moment. Now, for those that are listening, Brownie has shaved his hair because,
it looks good, though, doesn't it?
It does look good. I admit it looks good because you can't get to a hairdresser. But I think Brownie's seen the shaved head and he's gone, well, I might just dress this up and pair it with a black jacket that looks at a romper stomper.
For our listeners that can't see it, there's a little tag. There's a zip. A zip on the sleeves and a little tag. He's
forgotten to take the tag off though, mate.
I did ask Christina when I got it, and I said, do I take this off? Because it's not normally on the clothes I have.
You definitely take it off.
And she said, no, you leave it on there. So I left it on there.
He does what he's told, mate.
I do. I'm a changed man.
We're off the back of, I think, for as long as I've followed footy, there has not been a more exciting round 23 or round 22 in the old parlance than we had. It was just magnificent. That Saturday, you had Clarko's
start on
farewell
Friday
game.
Night, though.
Well, Friday night.
The Dogs kick, the Power kicking the last three goals to knock the Dogs off.
Magnificent. They had the draw for Clarko's last game.
Five goals in 6 minutes from the Tigers.
Brisbane winning by kicking the Cameron goal, so they won by that one point that got them over the line. Into the Melbourne comeback. It does not get better.
So, mate, it was great footy, wasn't it?
We were sitting down at Geelong waiting to do the Geelong game down there against Melbourne, and we're watching on an iPad what's happening up in Brisbane. It was just unbelievable, wasn't it?
It was. I think everybody, and it's been a hard year for everybody, whether you're in lockdown, you're out of lockdown. Footy hasn't been the best spectacle this year. Obviously, no crowds. It makes it hard. Even when you go and you're at the ground, as fortunate as we are, it's hard to get excited calling the games, commentating, and there's just no atmosphere. But that round of football, even though there was no crowd down at Geelong, it was brilliant because coming from Melbourne in the last quarter, the highlight for me, and obviously the Max Gorn goal, but you could physically hear the players when they kicked the goal all yelling out yeah at the same time. There was no one there and the cameras picked that up. That was brilliant and the Demons did a great job.
Like broadcasting those games this year, Nate, and you know, it's sort of been hard, hasn't it?
Without the
crowd, because you sort of rely on the crowd.
What's harder, the getting in, because when you're in a studio, you get sort of a fabricated noise and whatnot.
It's easier in the studio.
It's harder
at the
ground.
To generate because you're just screaming to an empty stadium.
So we were down in Geelong, and during the third quarter, the producers sort of said, oh, we've got to get up a little bit more, you know, because we're like, yeah, we do, you know, but you're normally feeding off the crowd.
Yeah.
But when Gorn kicked that goal, like I had the genuine goosebumps in the box. So, yeah, it was unbelievable.
Hey, big week for your home state, because not only are they getting finals footy for the first time, unless it was a weird – is it the first time?
First time for finals,
They have announced – that after all the hoo-ha of last week, they are going to at least put it to the president for a 19th licence down in Tassie.
So that's been confirmed now through the AFL and the Tasmanian government that the AFL Commission will be presented with the opportunity to grant a 19th licence. Now, they've still got a vote. You've got to get 75% of the vote. There's a lot of self-interest there from other clubs as well. Do they want another team? You know, there's going to be compromised drafts probably and all of that sort of stuff. But surely it gets through.
What about the Premier? Came out and he was hard with the AFL, really hard. And it could have gone either way. The people of Tasmania could have gone with him or they could have gone against him, saying, no, we want some sort of football. But he called the bluff and then the AFL thought, you know, how do we appease this situation? How do we make it a little bit better? We'll give him two finals down there.
Yes.
And the jewel in the crown is the Doggies Essendon final. That is, and there's 15,000 people allowed there.
You can get 20 into your
I think this is going to be brilliant. I think that is the final that is tickling my fancy. Yep. See how the Bombers go. The only side they've beaten in the top eight this year has been the Bulldogs. They're 1-8 against everybody else. So that's going to be a ripping final down in Tasmania.
A lot of people have asked, why didn't Hobart get one? You know, one in Hobart and one in Launceston. It's based around the availability of the cameras and the setup down there. That's more what it is.
Ship them up.
Yeah.
Port Geelong. Where are your thoughts on this?
Leaning towards Port Adelaide. Just because Geelong's injury concerns, they're not going to have Zach Tui, I don't think. We don't know the side.
Tom Stewart's
not playing. And I just think their form, they were very good against the Demons, but their rush of goals came pretty quickly and they got to that lead. So I just think Port Adelaide are playing great footy at the moment.
1-6 in a row, Port.
As long as they don't bomb too much to Charlie Dixon, who wasn't a factor last week. Alex Keith did a really good job, but they found goals elsewhere. And I thought they should have beaten the Bulldogs by further.
They dominated that game.
Geelong have known for a while they've been going to Adelaide to play this game, so it won't worry them, but they probably didn't think they were going to be playing against Port at home. So for that reason, I think Port Adelaide win.
Yeah, I think just Port Adelaide for me. Look, Port have been around the mark now for 3 or 4 years with Ken Hinckley. And at the start of this year, he put it out there that we want to win the premiership. We think that we can. And I just feel like they're building perfectly. Yep. They've had a lot of injuries. They've had 18 surgeries during the season. But they're getting everyone back at the right time. They've won 6 in a row. Hopefully Fantasia comes in. I think they went cautious with him last week.
I'll ask you a question, Richo. Yeah. The ruck battle. So Scotty Lysette's a great player, but you've got big Reece Stanley, who has had a horror week, let's be honest. He should not have been where he was when Max Gawn took that mark. So say I'm going to put you in Chris Scott's position, and I don't know what Reece Stanley's like, how he responds to adversity or do you wind him up that hard to say, you owe us this week? You're going up against a guy that is pretty rock hard fit and tough. Yeah. Scotty Lysette. Big hard, fella, bikey, really good player. Yeah. Thought he dominated the Dogs last week. So how hard do you go this week winding Reece Stanley up? Because that could be the difference between Geelong win or lose this game straight into a prelim, is how Reece Stanley performs.
I reckon if I was Chris Scott, I would have backed him straight in after the game, which he did in the press conference. Yeah, he had a bad last quarter, but before that he was pretty good, Reece Stanley. You know, I saw he was in the votes on some of the media outlets, even though he had that poor last quarter. Back him in after
and
the
a poor
game.
Last moment as well.
Yeah.
He turned around blaming other people.
But I don't think they've got another option, Nate. So I reckon he would have pumped him up during the week and they'll go with him this week.
Big job for Reece.
Hey, a matchup that will be making the administrators at AFL HQ very, very happy. The Battle of the Bridge, they first called this matchup, Sydney versus GWS.
Battle of the Bridge in Tassie.
Yeah.
Mm. I think Sydney are in better form. The Giants, you know, they're playing good footy. They weren't that categoric in beating Carlton last week, who were undermanned. I just think Sydney are in the better form. I think you go with the form teams in finals. I think it'll be close. If the Giants are great in the contest. I think the Swans move the ball better and have just got more scoring options. So I think Sydney in that one.
If I was Leon Cameron, I'd be. They played 4 weeks ago, I think.
Yep.
It wasn't that long ago. And it was 7-1. For Leon Cameron, he'd be watching that tape back. Okay, what are we doing that first quarter that got us that lead? What did we stop doing in that second quarter? What did Sydney bring to the table after that? I genuinely think the Giants can win this game. I think they rise to the occasion against Sydney. It would not surprise me either way.
Don't forget they beat them up in Sydney earlier this year too.
Wouldn't surprise me either way. I think they're both going pretty well.
$1.67 you're getting for Melbourne, and the punters are piling in. 4 times the cash on Melbourne than Brisbane.
Well, I wouldn't be piling in. They're going okay, Melbourne, and they won that game last week. But this Brisbane team is outstanding at the moment, and they are flying.
Yeah.
And to do what they did last week, and they didn't play amazingly well, but when they needed to, they kicked 6 of the last 7 goals. Their forward line is functioning. Having the big fella back, Marcus Adams, in their defensive part of their game has helped them immensely. I think this, again, is a 50-50 game. Brisbane are the form team. They bring in the form that no other team brings in.
I reckon this is the upset for me. I think Melbourne are going really well and they deserve to be favourites. But if there's going to be an upset, it wouldn't surprise me.
They celebrated hard last week too.
They did. Like
it their grand final last week?
I think they've...
That's what people will say though.
I think they've done. They normally celebrate their achievements, Melbourne. Number one defence in the comp v the number one attack. Mm. Brisbane can score quicker than anyone. So that is where it's won and lost for me. And I think Brisbane just have more ability to score, but the width of the Adelaide Oval suits how Melbourne defend. You know, Brisbane score heavily at the Gabba, which is as wide as any ground in the competition. So can Brisbane get through? But if there is going to be an upset, this would be the one for me. But I think you got to back Melbourne just because they're favourites.
Got a question for you. If you just say this was before Richmond won that first flag and you weren't working and you had to sort of, you know, get to the game yourself, would you be putting things in place to get over to Perth to watch Richmond win that first flag?
I would, but I don't think you can get into Perth unless...
There is ways. If you're creative.
You can go to Darwin and then come down to...
Ooh, hang on.
Yeah.
You're creative. I'd love to hear.
But are you going to get a submarine into the Swan River?
Creative gets in and big Mark McGowan doesn't see
I would
him.
Not... I'm not endorsing or condoning anything illegal, but like, there are ways that you can get in legally.
How?
Yeah.
You can apply for a permit. You know, come up with some reason. If you are creative,
so you're going to lie on the reason, the permit.
I might take some creative license with my reason for a permit.
So what would your reason be?
I don't know the criteria well enough, but even that, You know, if I was fully vaccinated.
So this is a comment without thinking, isn't it?
I'm starting to dig myself in a hole. But I'm just saying, if you can legally get to Perth.
I would be trying every option available. If I was a Melbourne supporter and I had the facility to be able to get over there and do it, I would try everything I could.
You do have to feel for Melbourne fans. Oh. 50 years without a flag in the first time.
I'll still be happy.
Who cares? If they win it, they win it. Still a flag.
All right, what about this? I'll put this hypothetical to you. I know this is not a hypothetical, but it's a good time. Would you, if you're a Melbourne fan, would you prefer to win this flag in Perth when you have to watch it just at home by yourself? Or I can guarantee you a minor premiership next year.
No, you take it.
I'm taking a flag.
I can't guarantee anything.
Mate, it's been, you know, it's been a long time now.
But imagine seeing it sitting just at home, just with the dial.
You see more on TV, pretty much.
It's a lot. It's 60 years ago, nearly, since last
night. Grand final day, we'll be allowed to have people at our house, I reckon.
We're not a snowball's chance in having that. Mate, that's not the last thing they give us.
5 weeks away.
Yeah, but that's the last thing they give us, is people at home.
Yeah, I reckon you'd be able to have 10 people at your house.
It'd be fitting to round up. The home and away season is done and dusted, which means we've got one final top five from you, Brownie.
It is, hum. It is.
What about the Dogs and Essendon?
We did speak about that a little bit off the top, but I think the Dogs will win.
I think the Dogs will win. I think they'll bounce back.
So I think the two best moments of the whole season come last week. So number one, do you want me to go from five to one, hum?
I think given that's start how every bottom, single list the in the world has ever done, you don't start with your best and go to fifth. Go to fifth up to first.
Yes, that would be how you
Well, the top
it.
Five moments of the season, five.
He's got nothing written down either.
Five was the Hawthorn situation. I think the fact that Alistair Clarkson, the greatest coach we've seen in the last 25 years, Sam Mitchell comes in, Jeff Kennett didn't want him out there, and then the Hawks just burst home. So that is one of the top five moments of the season. Gary Rowan's kick after the siren down in Geelong.
Yep.
That was a massive moment. Josh Bruce, 10 goals. Other player kicked 10 goals this year. And I think to kick 10 goals in this day and age, that is massive.
We did that game, obviously, on the radio, and you were there as well. Remember that last sort of 10 minutes when he was getting close?
And they've all pushed up. And Luke Beveridge got in those 10 goals. Yeah. And then the top two, if that's three, is last week. So Brisbane did what they did, and just the theatre around it, the score being in the bottom, then Chris Bagan
throwing. How many times did
throwing.
It flip? It flipped about five
yeah,
or six times.
Yeah, it just kept going.
It was brilliant. Yeah. It was, you couldn't look away. And then Maxi Gawn after the siren, number one.
Very sort of weighted towards the back end of the season. Did you just forget? Have you just ignored the whole first 20 games?
It's clearly going to be more hysteria around a result like that, huh?
Between you and I, Richo, given that Brownie has no notes written down and he's just come up with things that have happened in the last 7 days,
Josh Bruce happened in round three.
He's got a photographic memory, Nate.
Hey, all right, we're going to wrap up our favourite footy league. Of course, we speak of the North West Football Association.
Okay, I'll say we'll do it in a minute.
Down in Tassie, because it is finals time down there.
Yep.
Get the screen, the scores up on the screen. Now, this is Wesley Vale. Now, I need to tell you this. Wesley Vale finished third. They were the best outside the two juggernauts. Yeah. Of course, we speak of fourth and Watton Preston. Wesley Vale finished third comfortably. They have been absolutely pants.
Very English names, aren't they? Wesley Vale and Sheffield.
You know what Sheffield is? Yeah, exactly. You know what Sheffield's got the feel about it? The 2016 Dogs, hum?
It does. They're coming from outside the top four.
They can't lose.
It's a big win.
It's a big win.
So that means that sets up a match between Moreton, Preston and Sheffield in the prelim, because fourth absolutely destroyed Moreton.
Fourth are unbeatable,
I reckon. They are unbeatable. So who will play them? Well, this is a matchup.
I miss the second semis. You know, when the top five, the second semi, the losing, the elimination and the first semi. I used to like that.
But just have a look at Wesley Vale. Now, they expected to go through. This came up the day after they got bundled out. The club is seeking expressions of interest for the following roles for the 2022 NWFA season. Senior coach and senior assistant coach, reserves coach. So they've wiped them out.
That is brutal. The very next day, but you know the funniest part about this, before we came on air today, we were just having a look at some of the graphics that we're going to have a look at today in the show, a bit of preparation, and that graphic came up, Wesley Vale, you know, blah, blah, blah. And Brownie looked at me and you, and he said, "Where's Wesley Vale?" We've only been doing this league for the whole season, Nathan.
Wow.
He hasn't paid one bit of attention for the whole season.
I've been paying a lot of attention to Rosebery Toorak and the Ulverstons, east, west, north, up, down. There's about 18 Ulverstons. So you tend to forget about Wesley Vale.
Hey, one of the highlights of this year in this show has been Extra Extra Read All About It, where I read out a
From the Sunday Footy Show.
A lot do come from the Sunday Footy Show. I read out a headline. You need to tell me who said it and what it is about. First one. If, in brackets, rival clubs want to offer me future coaching gigs for a couple of years.
Scotty Pendlebury, he spoke to us on Triple M Sunday.
Yeah, Scotty Pendlebury.
That
and
is
we were
correct.
Very surprised that he went with it too. But
and he's since tidied that up a little bit.
That's why you listen to Triple M.
Well, he came. He put a tweet out last night.
He did.
And said, "I am a one club player. I was talking about after coaching my footy career." So I think someone
the
said,
rumor oh, Scotty, yeah, the Scotty. Rumor mill started thinking he was going to go somewhere else for a year and then coach.
So I saw Kane Corns had a dig at him last night, but the way he said it was exactly that.
Right. Yeah.
So I've got no doubt that he's
a
little bit.
Turn.
I don't know whether he's upset with the club at the moment, with the fact they're not doing contracts, maybe, and he's had time to think about it and then reassess.
It would have been a shame to see him in another jumper, don't you think?
He's got to be the unluckiest coach. He's had 2 years, both COVID years. He hasn't had a run at it whatsoever.
Well, that's David Teague, obviously, they're talking about.
Yep.
And I think that is Kane Corns again.
Oh, I don't know how unlucky he is, but I'll go with that.
Incorrect. It is Adam Cooney on the Armchair Experts.
Oh, wow. What's the Armchair Expert?
It's a show that goes on Channel 7.
It's an online show on 7.
Does it goes on TV, doesn't
it? Yeah, no, it goes. But it's produced like an online.
Yeah, it started. It's like the front bar ilk. An online show.
The power Coons had when he played. He was extraordinary out of the stuff.
If you want a sports bet, so it's going to be flat. Nathan doesn't know what the Armchair Expert is.
Yeah, Georgie Parker's on.
Georgie's on there.
Oh, the Olympic thing.
No.
Well, no.
She's on the Armchair Experts.
The Armchair Experts. She's Brownie.
Jeez, he doesn't.
Brownie? The whole season?
She's been on there all year.
Like, I'm a busy man. I can't be across these shows.
You're her mentor,
right?
As well. Brownie's Georgie's mentor.
To Georgie, please?
Absolutely not.
So talk us through this mentorship that you're doing with her when you don't even know what show she's on.
Well, we do a thing called In the Back Pocket for Fox Footy every week.
Yeah, but you're a mentor.
Since when am I a mentor? Georgie's very good at what she does. She doesn't need a mentor.
That's funny.
Oh, Brownie.
You've had a mare, Brownie.
You're just a romper stomper here. Would I have loved some people from within the club to come out and back me? Absolutely.
That's David Teague talking at his press conference.
You're correct.
Yeah, I guess. Technically, it's from on SEN, but that's right.
He said, I'll tell you who he he told that to Gary and Tim, didn't he? No, that's his press conference, so it's not SEN. Oh. Anyone can grab that.
It was his press conference, yeah.
Yeah.
Every year I sit down and do my predictions.
That press conference where he looks like he's on Mars, but the internet connection all year's been horrendous.
Right. I understand how they haven't figured it out.
And then they got the footy there with grunt on it. Like, just show some sort of grunt, man.
If these press conferences and the way all this stuff gets done post-COVID is still done on Zoom and crap, I'm going to...
No, it won't.
There's a job opportunity for you there, fixing up all the Zoom connections.
Well, I'm not an IT guy, Brandy.
Mm.
Every year I sit down and do my predictions and think they're old and they're going to drop off, and they don't. They are phenomenal.
Well, that is Geelong and that is Kane Corns talking.
I reckon I'm going to say that is Geelong and Matthew Lloyd.
Kane Corns on Geelong.
Thank you.
Says a lot of stuff, Kane, doesn't he?
He does.
He does say a lot.
He gets quoted a lot, doesn't he?
I don't think he's been given a fair go.
Well, that has to be David Teague again.
David Teague. I think David King had a bit of a go last week, saying that he hadn't had much of a go. Anytime you want
to. I don't know. I'll go with you then. It is David Teague. Justin Longmire.
Right. Yeah, old Longy. Another coach.
Coaches looking after their...
And last one. They've cost themselves a premiership. It's one of the greatest chokes of all time.
I think that's about the Bulldogs.
Well, it is.
And maybe Kane Corns again.
Yeah, that's got Cornsy written all over it.
It was Kane Corns.
He's had a big week, your mate.
He's dollar quote Corns. I know we talk about T-shirts a lot. You haven't quite on your T-shirt again. You've had to go up my jacket. But is that from 2002, that T-shirt?
Richard, look
Have
at
a
it.
Look at it. It is drooping
look
off you.
It is.
It is, like, wrinkled.
Mate, I've given up.
Even this arm over here is, like, flipped up. It's not even down.
That is a cotton-on shirt from about 7 years ago, I reckon.
COVID's been bad for me. I've lost all self, sort of.
It's I can almost see your nipple.
I can't get over how droopy it is. You look like that. You look like that.
You know what, Nate? I'll give you that. I've got to have a bit more pride.
You do have to have more. You look like that. It's, you know, that bloke you used to live with or whatever that just never washed his clothes. Just would always wear the oldest.
You walked out the door this morning and Jen was like, "What's happened?"
Mate, did you know when you put it on and you could see you?
He's gone downhill since we got married.
The last time you actually got dressed up, I can't remember. Now, at least you make an effort.
I would not know the process of doing buttons up. I wouldn't know how to do it. I've lost that muscle memory.
I'm going to throw this T-shirt out.
Brandy, what's the world? How's it going in crypto?
Oh, it's back.
Good throw, hum. Good throw. So Bitcoin's back. It's had a bit of a drop off this morning. It's been about 5 or 6% across the board.
It's got more run in it, do you think?
It's got a little bit more run in it, I think, Matthew. But if you've heard the space, the NFTs, everyone's talking about NFTs, which is a non-fungible token, which is like, you can buy it online. So it's like digital art. So it's like holding a store of asset. Like it's property.
It's a croc. Yeah.
Improves in value. You buy a property in Northcote, 10 years later, it's meant to be worth double. So an NFT is a non-fungible token. So it might be digital art, and there's a lot of artists out there making money.
But how? Like, what does it actually
mean? Because they
mean?
Put it on this program. There's a website called OpenSea.io, and all the NFTs are on there, all the different categories, whether it's finance, whether it's art, whether it's sport, politics. And so I thought I was going to get in on the game. I thought everybody's talking about this NFTs. I keep seeing people on Twitter making extraordinary gains.
Yeah.
So I went on there and I asked a mate of mine who's into it, who's bought a few. He bought one of the early LeBron packs in the NBA Top Shop.
So it's like footy cards.
You physically want to look at them, don't you? You don't want to.
And so what do you actually get with it? Once you own it?
You keep it in your wallet, your online wallet, and you can look at it, but it's just yours. So it sits there.
But what's the stopping going to YouTube and watching it?
I understand your questioning.
So get to what you bought then.
So I bought this thing called the Gutter Cat Gang. So I got a picture of the Gutter Cat Gang. This is what I bought. That is an NFT, right? That is an NFT. So I bought that. And so that stores in my...
Hey, someone's having a laugh
in my online
things.
Wallet, right?
You didn't buy that.
I bought that, right? What the hell? For 0.5 of an Ethereum. So Ethereum's around 3,300 US. So it was about 1,600, right?
You paid 1,600 for that. I could have drawn that for 16.
I took it out of some profits.
I just described just for those listening. We get it back up on the screen.
What is it?
It's a cat with an afro.
And a necklace.
So there's
it's just a picture.
There's 10,000 of these cats. Someone's drawn, right? So one person's drawn these 10,000 cats. Each one of them is slightly different. And so the rarer ones obviously
slightly different.
Go for more. But I'm going to tell you, right? So I bought that. So 0.5 of an Ethereum. Yeah. And then it went up. It started going up over the course of a week. I'm like, this is extraordinary. This is what people have been talking about. It just keeps going up and up, up only. And it got to 2 Ethereum, the ones that are similar to mine.
You've made $3,200 then.
So I put it up for sale and it sold instantly for 2 Ethereum.
Right.
I've checked back like a couple of days ago. These things are going for 12 Ethereum now.
Oh.
So 12 times. They're going for about 40 grand. I paid 1,500 or 1,600. So, now they're going for 40,000. The bottom of it falls out at some point because it's a bubble,
so
clearly.
The guy that has drawn those cats is absolutely laughing.
He's made 400 grand. And it's like a Microsoft Paint.
But that guy that drew them all, right? So he gives the opportunity to people. So at the base of it, people buy him for about 0.05 of an Ethereum, which is about $300, right? So he gets the $300. But then every sale after that, he gets 5% every time it sells.
But I don't get it. It's just a picture. Like, what's to stop me drawing it? Can I just draw something and stick it on this app?
You can. You can draw stuff.
It's got
you can go images by Hummer and you can load them up and see if they sell.
You should. I want, you know what we'll do next year?
Create a limited edition Hummer NFT.
All right, I will.
This thing keeps going up, and I sold it. What would I have been telling you the whole lot? Always hold. Always hold.
Well done.
I can't
like Laguna.
It's a picture of a cat.
I'll tell you what, well done, Nate. Hey, well, while you were buying NFTs, I've just been sitting on YouTube, Hum, like you said, right? So you're smarter than me. I'm not making any money.
The free NFT.
I also bought one called the Koala Intelligence Society.
Oh my God.
So I was on your YouTube the other night. I've been bored. You know, late at night. We're sick of being at home. And I've been watching a lot of YouTube video clips, right? Just sitting there having a look. Jen's watching The Housewives of New York. I'm on YouTube. And I've been looking at a lot of video clips and really listening to the lyrics, Nathan. Mm. So next week I'm going to come in. I'll just sort of give you a heads up.
Right.
Oh. I'm going to, now we know how Brownie's the footballer's poet. Remember he had the photo with the notepad.
Yeah, sitting in the bathtub.
With the Kurt Cobain T-shirt on. So over the final series, I'm going to bring in a couple of lyrics. He's never had one.
You would know what Jack Daniels tastes like.
I think it was Jim Beam.
So next week I'm going to bring in some lyrics, Nate, and you're going to you're going to translate them for me. Now, the other thing we've got to get onto now.
This is big. This is big.
You'll know last week I brought in a rumour surrounding our man, Nathan Brown.
Went viral across the internet.
Went viral surrounding his Balenciaga shoes and whether they were fake. Now, for people who don't know what Balenciaga shoes look like, just take a look at this.
Okay, what do we have here? The Balenciagas. You don't get a box with the fakes, Matthew. Have a look at these bad boys, eh? Have a look at the extra heel, the thickness. Have a look at that. The Balenciagas,
So there they are, hum.
There they are. So for those watching, we'll make sure we get that up on Instagram. But, and Brownie, I don't know what your voice was doing there.
Yeah, when, I don't know.
I was just trying to do a bit of humour work.
So Brownie's claiming, obviously, that they're not fake just because you've got the box. That doesn't mean a thing. No, it could be a fake box as
correct.
Well.
Okay.
So I last week said that
So
the fakes come with boxes now, do they?
Yeah, it could be a fake box as
Box? Well, you just saw the box. It's there.
So last week I said I had a source that had claimed that these were fake.
This is where the whole thing started.
Started. So I went to my source and he was happy to go on record with it.
Oh.
Now, Sam, can you please confirm for me that Nathan Brown's Balenciaga shoes are not real? They're fake.
No, they're Balenciagas. They are faux. Fraud, fake is another word, and the man has actually told me himself.
Right, thank you. That's all I need.
Confirming that.
Thank you.
So Scoop is claiming that you told him they were fake. What's going on?
I can't remember doing that, Matthew. I may have said something along the way, and been silly about it. But you are taking the word of a man A with red hair. And B, who decides to put that red hair up into a top knot as well.
Yeah, he's got a top knot? Strange. No, I think he's got, you know what he does.
Oh, he slicked it back as he looked like a top knot.
So are they fake or not?
No, they're not fake.
So you claim 100% you
100% real.
In the eye here and say that.
Because I've told you that my wife bought them for me.
Okay.
She's upset with you.
Right. Oh.
And this is what she put together.
Hey. What? Your Balenciagas? They're not. I bought them for you. Is he kidding? No. Surely you can't be as if. Oh, God. Do you remember when we were in Bali and he bought the fake Ray-Bans and he were running them for a couple of years when we got back at home?
That is magnificent.
Run around with fake Ray-Bans from Bali for a while and then leave them at my house and then ring me to say, are my glasses
Richo.
There? Don't worry about it because they're only fake Bali ones if you can't find them.
Richo.
She's turned this around well.
Hasn't she? She has absolutely nailed that.
I did wear fake Ray-Bans. All right, that puts it to bed then. I believe Christine.
Hey, Richo, we had a phone call on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
I was still in bed when you rang. Because I got a tweet from our man, Rhett Bartlett. Now, Rhett Bartlett said that he had some footage
of our man.
Which concerned me.
That perhaps wasn't suitable to send. Because I said, can you send it to me? He said, no, I don't want to send it publicly because it's not very appropriate. So inappropriate, Channel 9 didn't want to show it.
So we pricked up.
So our ears pricked up.
Just be careful.
And Brownie, you went into a tailspin because Richo called me shortly after he spoke to you because you're... freckle turned into the size of a pinhead. You got a little bit nervous because you just didn't know what was involved in this tape started to scramble.
Well, he's seen some of the work Rhett's put up over the last 2 years. He's got some real good stuff, Rhett, and his mind started racing.
He didn't know what it was, and you said, this is not going. I work in the media, I've got a profile, I've got kids and a family, and I've said, stuff it. So without further ado, let's play the footage.
You've been excellent this trip. You've gone and watched Radiohead play live in Dublin.
Radiohead was nearly as good as
What have you said? We've had to... I wanted to play...
So Nathan,
we've beaked it out.
That was Trent Crowe asking the questions, yep, former Hawthorn star. This is on the tour to Ireland. What year? 2000. Okay, so you are clearly at a function there, and Trent's asked you what you did last night.
Clearly been drinking too.
Oh, my God.
Way too much to drink. Too much Guinness. So you went to Radiohead in Dublin.
I did, and with Wayne Campbell and Andy Calloway.
So what is it? What was it better than? We had to beep it out.
I had to beep it out.
Well, I can't remember, to be honest. What would you say it's better than?
Was it better than...
You go on, say it.
Sex? Is that what you said?
I think I might have said it back in the day. 23 years ago, Matthew, and that's what you clowns
so
are bringing to the
table
now.
He said better than...
I tell you what, when Rhett started putting out on Twitter that I can't go with it, it's on these channels, I'm like,
worried.
What the hell have I said?
It wasn't a big deal and it was a bit of fun, but you know how you talk about my head turning upside down when I have a few beers?
It did.
I think you might want to have a look in the mirror there, Nathan.
It turned upside down because then I started following Rhett Bartlett on Twitter thinking, you know, what else has he got? So, let's have a look at Celebrity Hunting with Matthew Richardson.
Oh, great,
now, we've spoken a couple of times about your ability to put yourself out on social media and for people to say, oh, Matthew, how cool are you? And, you know, look at this, look at these people you know. You comment on things you never should comment on. You are just like a human headline at the moment. You're like Acker, but turned around. You didn't do it when you played, but now you want to be like Acker. Like, look at me. I can say the most stupid thing. I know this person. But this is what you posted during the week. You posted a photo just out of the blue, Like, there's not even any context.
So describe it for those listening.
No, this is Hugh Jackman, and he's got a photo of himself next to Hugh Jackman. So lucky in my job to meet some great Australians. What chance Hugh Jackman actually wore this Tigers jumper I presented to him? And I said, I think we need an intervention.
Richo.
Now, what context is that in?
Well,
like, that was years ago.
Well, I saw Stephen Quatermain. We know, you know, Quarters, obviously. Quarters has been putting up... Look, we're in isolation. We're bored. We're looking back through old photos. Quarters has been putting
I'll
up...
repost them.
Putting up photos. I just thought that people might want to see a photo of me.
How was it?
They didn't.
How was it received on social?
No, not well.
Unfortunately, though, it's not your only infraction. Let's have a look at the next one.
Oh.
This is a picture of Richo standing at a Coles, obviously for some type of promotion.
And you've done a flashback again.
With Usain Bolt, and the caption is flashback. One times goat emoji times one times, was it a house?
Oh, it's the poo emoji.
Oh, one times the poo emoji. Oh, great caption, Richo.
Well, Brody Holland's commented.
Brody liked it. You telling me you wouldn't be happy meeting Usain Bolt?
But yeah, I wouldn't repost it, though.
Richo, what are you doing? Great to meet at UFC champ Ronda Rousey. I love how he tags it, just in case she retweets
guess
it today.
What? I've tagged all
going
three.
Going to be epic at Eddie Hab Stadium.
I've tagged all three of those celebrities.
And nothing back?
Nothing.
But we do have one more photo.
No, there couldn't be any more.
No, there is one more photo that unfortunately involves the both of you.
What's that one? Oh, that's...
Grand Prick memory, spelt very wrong. Nate Brown and...
You've spelled it wrong.
You spelled Grand Prix with a C instead of an X.
Look at old chiseled Joel Brown there. Jeez, you were chiseled back.
I need to get that back.
Look, Brownie, you are chiseled there, but look at you. What face are you going with here, Brownie? Like,
you know what,
how Brandy's happy with yourself are
no,
you
no,
there?
No, you know why? Because the night before, this is a Saturday, we played round one. I'm pretty sure it was against the Bulldogs and we lost by 118 points on a Friday night. So this was the Saturday following it, and I reckon there's not too many smiles there because of what happened the night before.
I don't think we felt too good about ourselves.
You are chiseled there, though, aren't
Look,
you?
It's a chisel off
isn't
between
it? Yeah,
Coulthard and Brown.
Yeah. I just love how you spell Grand Prix.
It's not Coulthard either.
What is it?
It's Mark Webber.
Oh, my God.
No wonder they don't hit your back. You don't even know who they are. You don't even care who they
don't
are.
Don't tell me Coulthard in that.
As long as I can get my photo with a famous person, I don't even care what their name is.
Sorry, it was Mark Webber. I made a
Talk us through the spelling of Grand Prix.
Oh, I don't know what
it is. He's just a bozo from Tasmania, isn't he?
All right, Richo, what's doing
there? I apologise to Mark Webber there.
And it's doing my f***ing head in.
It's hard to come back from I'll tell you what's doing my head in. It was all the Australian squad the other night, okay?
Your last one.
Yeah, my last one. Now, once again, as soon as the squad gets released online, the hate starts coming in.
Yes.
It starts immediately.
I love it.
The comments underneath, you know, everyone's just bagging the squad and they want to bag who's not in it. Why don't we celebrate Bailey Dale being in it? Didn't you think that was a good story?
I think Bailey Dale should be in the team.
Okay. So why didn't anyone say that?
22.
Why didn't someone say, what about Paul Seedsman?
Well, I don't get on Twitter and comment like you.
Paul Seedsman, the number one rated wingman in the competition this year. What a great year he had. No one wants to talk about that. All we want to talk about is who isn't in it.
Yep.
Right? Travis Boak's not in it.
Yeah, it's a good
Cam
point.
Cam Guthrie's not in it.
Yeah, it's a good point.
And all people do is bag that. Why can't we celebrate achievement?
Why
in
do we need to have the Australian squad? Why do you need the squad? Why can't you just go up, name the 22, and then you obviously get the comments on the back of that?
Do you agree that all we want to do...
There's no need for 40.
I'll answer that in a minute. Do you agree that all we do when we announce things in this country is just put it down? We never celebrate it.
No, I agree with that. I agree with that.
It does my head in. So much so that I'm done.
Travis Boak was stiff.
Should we look at...
There's a lot of stiff players.
Yeah, who else goes out then?
Rory Laird. Like, you had two Adelaide players in there. Rory Laird had a great year, but Adelaide finished where they did, and a lot of those possessions were easy possessions. Travis Boak's possessions were very good possessions. Rory Laird, great year. Probably wins the best and fairest of Adelaide.
Will.
But I thought if you had a choice between those two, clearly Travis Boak is the one.
Travis Boak is very stiff. There's probably six or seven very stiff players.
Yep. I think Bailey Dale should be the starting halfback flanker. So you got that one right.
Find out.
You know who I've just realised who Richo reminds me of in that T-shirt?
Who?
Have you seen Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory? You know the decrepit grandpa that's just lying in bed in filthy clothes? That's what he looks like.
You can't talk about T-shirts, hum.
All right, let's see who's been nominated for the Nuffy Jar this week. Looks to be a frequent attendee of the Nuffy Jar, a man that has probably popped in almost as much as you, Richo, this year. Our man, Tommy Brown.
Is he the winner?
He has to be.
The yearly winner?
He could be put in there for five or six or seven tweets every single week. But I think... What tops it this week?
He does a lot of good work.
He does great work, and
I like Tom.
He's a good man of a good friend of
What's
the brand
he
until he
week?
Stitched us up for 40 disposal gate one
right
day.
Of the tweet, mate.
I'm glad it's not. Well, it's not one of us
Brownie.
This week.
I don't think it's a tweet. This is his press conference.
Bevo, commiserations just on that last play. I'll start with that. Obviously, Bailey Smith's kick. What were your thoughts on that last play? Was that sort of in accordance with what you sort of had instructed the guys to do? And it was a pretty bad luck.
What part of it, Tom, was bad luck to you?
Well, I'm just asking, sorry, I'll rephrase the question. What did you think? Do you think his kick was going to go through?
From my vantage point, no, I thought Nortz might have marked it, but what did you think was going to go through? I'm not sure.
I think Ben Murray answered.
He liked his time again, Tom.
Let me rephrase the question by completely changing it.
You know what? It's hard. When you ask the first question, it would be nerve-wracking, I reckon.
Yeah.
Well, not for Tom. He's the chief football reporter at Channel 7. But look.
It wasn't his best question, but
it wasn't.
Yeah, it's Bevo's, after the game.
Bevo is, he's rough with journos when he's...
I thought Bevo handled himself pretty well.
I thought Bevo handled it quite well.
I thought he handled it very well. It could have gone the other way.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine asking Mick Malthouse that question.
Hey, can I tell you, I've interview coaches straight after games when they're like Mick, and you can go to water. I tell you, they're real. They get real. Their eyes are looking at you.
Well, I think it was Jay-Z Clark who asked Mick, "Do you think the boys come to play?" And Mick said, "Oh, what do you mean? Will they come to play marbles? What do you mean?"
All right, let's give some votes out next. Show wrapping up. Before we do, we've got some awards to give out, some hypotheticals to ask. Let's have a look at the best, the Bont on 15. But I tell you what, Ollie Wines, who we've got as favourite to win the Brownlow, is not anywhere in there. The Bont 15,
him,
Jeremy Cameron 8, Christian Petrakis 7.
Carl Amon in there.
Darcy Parrish 7. While for the worst, West Coast on 26 have, dare I say, an unassailable lead at this point. St Kilda 21, Carlton 17, Collingwood 16, and Christo very quickly climbing up the ranks with 11. Gentlemen, your best.
All right, my best. I'll give one to Nick Natanui in a losing team. Did you watch that display of ruck work from him the other night?
It was brilliant. Yep.
10 clearances on his own and his ruck work. Luke Shuey had 12 clearances, and it's because of his hit-outs. He is amazing, Nick Nat. Love him. Buddy, 6 goals, 2. How good is it to have Buddy back in September and flying? I loved what he did the other day. And I've given, this is a rarity, given the AFL 3 votes for finally recommending that Tasmania should have a 19th licence. Well done.
I'm going to go one vote to Devin Smith. I thought it was his best game of the season on the weekend. And Devin Smith, if he gets the ball at halfback, he'll have a shot no matter what. He'll try and break 8 tackles. Did you see how many he gave off? Yeah, I think he'd been instructed, Devin, we need you to play more of a team game. And he gave them off. I reckon he had 4 or 5 assists. Direct goal assists. 2 votes to the man that got left out of the All-Australian squad in Travis Boak. I thought his game late was outstanding. 30-odd disposals, 2 goals, 3. And 3 votes to Max Gawn.
You know the other thing with the All-Australian squad, you got people tend to look at the back half of the year too much. You've got to look at it as a whole season, Nathan.
Shame.
I'll give one vote. I'll give one vote to Reece Stanley, not for his game, because up until three-quarter time...
Kick a man while he's down.
Poor man was embarrassed in front of him.
Up until three-quarter...
He's shown his head Saturday.
I just told
Richo's
you...
Richo's just sunk the boots in. Would you want... Look, you can have my Balenciagas while you do it. They've got about 8 extra inches on the bottom of them. They'll hurt him.
I can't believe you even wear them things.
Like me either.
They're worse than my T-shirt. And this was about $15, not $1,500. Reece Stanley, he needed to defend that high ball. If you're going to follow Gawn down there, you've got to defend it. 2 to the Carlton board.
Yep.
Seriously.
So he had to defend it, did he? Thanks for the scoop, Sandra Tully.
For obvious reasons, what's going on with this review? Seriously, let David Teague know whether he's coaching or not coaching.
Yep.
I feel for David Teague at the moment. And 3 to Frio, they had to go down there and have a win in Hobart against St Kilda. St Kilda had nothing to play for.
Yeah.
Frio, if they had have won that game, they put a bit of pressure on Essendon. Look, I think Essendon would have won anyway, but they didn't turn up. The Saints flogged them.
I gave one vote to Richo and his All-Australian selected buddies for leaving Travis Boak out.
He's furious. He's furious.
I wasn't going to do it, but then he brought it up in his what's doing my head in.
You know what? Nathan, he doesn't understand the process, Hummer.
2 votes I gave to Carlton for the same reasons you did, and I think it's very similar, and 3 votes to also Fremantle. So votes are very similar except for you sinking the boots into Reece Stanley.
I actually said Reece would be backed in this week and he'll play well against Scott Lysett.
Okay.
All right. We've got some hypotheticals to finish.
Oh, Darcy made it too.
Yeah, he did. Did you think he had a good year?
Had a great year.
Hypotheticals are back to their original format.
You big on him, though.
No, I'm gonna back over this because you want to keep bringing.
Earlier on in the year, you said, I don't know whether he can play.
He was playing centre half forward one day against the Western Bulldogs at Etihad Stadium, and he didn't play that role well.
Yep.
As a ruckman, he had an All Australian squad year.
Mm. The next week, he put in a Polly Farmer performance as well.
Why aren't you listening to what I'm saying, Nathan?
Because it makes me feel better to not.
I'm saying that day he was playing as a forward. He's not an All-Australian forward.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for clarifying.
I'm going to wrap this up with some hypotheticals. This was sent in by a listener, a good fan of the show, Oscar Wright on Twitter. Aliens invade Earth tomorrow. They ask to meet one representative for mankind, but not someone in the government. Who are we sending from the AFL world?
To represent mankind?
Yeah.
Marcus Bontempelli. For me.
Oh,
wow.
Who is he's
just I was scared you were going to say Dangerfield.
No, he's just the all-round package.
Not Danger.
He's a great guy. He's a great leader. He's a super player. He's measured. He speaks well.
Got a big beak, though.
Yeah.
He's very good.
Do you want them representing?
The Bont is my man.
Maybe Max Gawn.
Big Max.
Yeah.
I think he'd disarm
scare him.
No, I think he'd disarm them because he gets out, you've got the bald head, he's got the big beard.
So he'd intimidate them.
Yeah. Bash the aliens.
Don't you want someone who can negotiate?
I don't want to bash them. He's a very intelligent man, Max.
Do we want to...
Are you saying he's not intelligent?
I thought you were going the fear factor. Because
are we trying to scare the aliens off or are we trying to welcome them?
I'm negotiating with them.
Because Max can negotiate.
I reckon.
Oh, yeah? So who are you sending, Mike Tyson?
No. Well, who's the toughest fighter in the...
Oh, that's a Gypsy King.
Send push-up.
Yeah, well, no. It's got to be a current player. Who's
Charlie
the most
Dixon?
Ferocious? Maybe Charlie Dixon.
Send Big Chaz.
Charlie Dixon up there to go whack some skulls. Okay. You can wish for anything, but every single time you do, you lose either a random finger or a random toe. How many wishes are you taking and what are you wishing for?
I know plenty of people without fingers who go okay. Scotty Wand, who won a Brownlow medal, he's missing this finger here. So
how many are you prepared to cut off?
How many were you happy to...
I'd
have four wishes. I'm prepared to lose both my little fingers.
You don't get to pick.
Oh, I'm still prepared to lose four.
Four wishes.
One off each.
No, I think you get to pick.
But if you lose your thumb, you lose your balance.
I'm going to lose a couple of toes.
If you lose...
But would you go only two then? You'd only have
what
two
What do you
wishes.
Need four wishes for?
Well, I just want to have as many wishes as I can, and I think I can cope with one less of each.
All right, let's
Well, what if you use the first wish to wish? You can't lose any limb, any fingers.
COVID's eliminated straight away.
You'd waste a...
That's one wish.
Waste a wish on that.
Oh, that helps everyone, right? I wish that...
World peace.
I wish for my daughters to always be healthy for the rest of their life.
Yeah, that's a good... Yeah, family health would definitely be one.
Yep.
Okay. Selfishly...
How much money are you asking for? Like, you're asking for $1 trillion or you don't need $1 trillion?
No. I wish for enough coin to just not ever have to worry about anything, be able to go on a holiday. So I reckon give me 100 mil just to enjoy the rest of my life.
Yeah, 100 mil. That's you can probably get through 100 mil.
And... I want to, and another little one for myself. I want to see the Tigers win another premiership one day. As a supporter in the grandstand.
For that, you could have potentially lost both thumbs, both big toes, which means you can't walk.
Well, I've got rid of COVID.
Talk.
I've got all the money I need and my daughters are healthy.
So, yeah. Jen's unhealthy?
Hey? Oh, but my family,
No, you said your daughters. I meant Jen.
What about if you wished?
What if you wished for it? You could wish for enough money that you then invest in a company that makes prosthetic thumbs.
Dare. You know that's
Mark, good. You give up a few.
Yeah, I'd give up. I think four. Okay, last one. Would you sell your pet for $1 million?
Kev the cat.
Kev, for a million.
$1 million.
Where does the million go to? Does it go to good?
No, it goes to you.
No, I wouldn't. No.
That's a good point.
You get the $1 million, Brownie. What do you mean, where does it go? I'll give you $1 million for your dog.
How are you going to explain that to the kids?
Many years ago, I had a couple of beagles when I lived in Richmond. I gave them away.
For free?
Mate, he'd sell his soul for $1 million.
Brownie, be honest. You are 100% taking the $1 million for your dog.
Yep.
I'm not taking it. I like Kev. He's a good cat.
It's $1 million for Kev. You get a new Kev. Kev the second.
I'd get a,
$10 million.
Ten, yeah. I would.
All right, that will do us for this week. Thank you for joining us. Good luck. Stay safe out there. And for heaven's sake, given most of our listeners are between 18 and 39, the good news is you can go and get Pfizer. Just go and get it done so we can get the hell out of this crap. Good luck on the punt. Gamble responsibly.